Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. Okay, well, we're overwhelmed with all the calls today. Incredible. 914-338-0164 is the call-in number, and I'm trying to post the show. Again, this link is not working, so I'm going to have to do it manually. Well, Neil, did we come up with a topic today?
We always have a topic.
I mean, there's always something, but I don't think we really formally decided on anything. So I guess I'll let you surprise me. We'll be spontaneous.
Well, that's exactly what the topic is about. what we can do in life that is planned from birth or before birth, and what we do in life that can be spontaneous. A lot of times we think what we're doing is spontaneous when actually we're following a pattern of karma, things we're meant to do, things that are that were already predetermined. Now, creativity can be involved in that process, but that's in contrast to something that wasn't necessarily on our map, and we get to creatively discover within our lifetime that we can branch out in new directions and pursue new things. That typically happens after a karmic, all the karma stuff has been done with.
Well, but we have to remind everybody that being on the planet involves karma from life to death, from birth to death, from life to death.
Yeah, there's
from
karma
birth to death.
So, karma,
but there's a more intense phase of limitation regarding what can be done in a person's life for a specific time frame that's allotted. Again, also want to remind people that destiny and karma, there's karmic destiny and there's sheer destiny, and those are two different things.
Yeah, they are. Karma does have certain layers of intensity and duration. So some karma is set according to a standard number of years and what needs to be done, and it's step by step by step by step, much like education, our education system. And then some karma is more, a little bit more lax, and it can be done without a pure regimentation of time and procedure, but it still has to be done. That's more casual energy. The intense karma usually is a result of a past life debt or a crime, something that has to be repaid, something that didn't get done. A lot of times, transcendence is contingent on the completion of karma. So those that try to skip over karma and get right to the nitty-gritty of what their dreams are will find themselves sabotaged constantly. And that can happen even late in life. We get a lot of calls from people who are constantly dreaming about doing something and wanting to do something, and they're bombarded and stopped by any given number of obstacles. This is the result of not clearing the karma, which can result in matters of the earth. You know, you have to forgive somebody. You have to get through some psychological difficulty that you had with someone. or literally you have to repay a debt.
Yeah, and sometimes people are so enmeshed in karma that the duration of that fixed karmic period really doesn't ever release. They don't ever release from that because the karma is so dense that there's too much to get through in one lifetime. So they spend their entire life in a position where they're, you know, beset by difficulties.
Yeah, you know, it's
issues,
it's,
problems, and they struggle.
It's difficult to learn something and yet in the future not repeat it. That's what's happening to our country now in terms of the racial bigotry and discrimination and all the these violent things that are going on. We've been here before. We've been here several times. And every time we get to a point where there seems to be some resolve or some reprieve, we say, okay, we've learned. And then, sure enough, we go right back to repeating the same thing. Now, this time around, there seems to be a sense of history and that we really don't learn, that we're right back where we were. And this time there's this concerted effort to make something stick and change. And the populace are demanding that it be indoctrinated into our system, into our consciousness, and firmly rooted as it should be in the Constitution. The same thing is happening with, the same thing is correlated to karma. If we don't learn from our mistakes, if we just take a moment where we say, okay, wow, that was tough, well, I'll never do that again. And a month later, we find ourselves repeating the same mistakes or forgetting, even maybe it's a year later, maybe it's five, but we don't internalize the decisions we make
or
when
the
change
or
is actually needed, and we make a commitment to make that change happen. It's a concerted effort. You can't relax. It's a concerted effort in order to maintain that essence and to obey the rules and laws. Just yesterday, you know, people are going back on the road and they're traveling and stuff. And it's obnoxious. I saw a guy speeding in his truck, driving too fast. And in front of my eyes, he ran over a little kitten and just kept driving. When you get into the, and then the, when I was slowing down during this episode, a guy behind me is honking his horn and drives past me, flipping me off like I was driving too slow during this incident. And this little kitten that was running for its life to the side of the road was fatally
injured
when this big truck, semi-truck went over.
It was a semi?
Not a semi-truck, pickup truck. Like one of those.
But those
oversized
pickup trucks, which I always marvel at the fact that those are allowed on the road, because I mean that, not that they're allowed on the road, but that anybody can drive that size of truck, because you know, it used to be that large trucks were driven by professional truck drivers. You know, you have to have a special license to operate that size of vehicle, and the sizes of vehicles have increased so much. Everybody should be able to drive that size of the car.
In the next
personally.
Caption, as I, because I slowed down,
I wasn't there in this.
I saw the same guy pull him to the gas station and pump his. He was going to obviously pump his car.
You,
with
who?
Gas.
Who?
The guy that ran over the kitten.
He really.
Yeah. So I'm, you know, because I slowed down long enough. And the gas station was but a block away. Well, you know, we can't forget. And as much as we put forth an effort to learn, whether it's racial injustice and making things correct again, and hopefully this will be a valuable lesson for all of us, or whether it's in the sense of one's personal karma. When you would, you know, it's sliding back, it's called backsliding, but sliding back into our own
that
ways.
Was a dance move. Oh, that's moonwalking.
Oh, moon, no, backsliding is a religious term.
No, I'm just kidding.
That once you cross over and you see God, you know, you can tend to backslide. So it's called backsliding. There's a religious terminology to it. But the sense that karma can be spontaneous is also accountable to the idea that we can be spontaneous in making decisions. And when we make those rash decisions, like to sacrifice our life for someone, when we, and it's happening even with the virus, people rushing out and saving people. And whether you believe in this or not, there are people who do believe in it, who are deliberately risking their lives.
I don't know. Oh, believe that the virus is the actual threat.
Yeah, some people believe it isn't. Some people believe it is. But it doesn't matter. But it only doesn't matter because those people who are rushing out and risking their lives under the knowledge that they are.
Like the healthcare professionals that are treating people, which the virus, I think we can agree that the virus, there's a virus that exists. And coronavirus has been around for a long time. This is a new version of the coronavirus. How threatening it is, how deadly it is the question. I think that's the point of controversy. But we, you know, people have been infected with this virus. What's going to happen in the future remains to be seen, because you know we're expecting a second wave, and how that second wave occurs. Whether it's because we're reopening or if it's because of 5G showers or chemtrails, those are all, up for debate. But I wanted to talk to you about rash decisions, because you probably didn't know this. In Buffalo, New York, two police officers, apparently a man in his 70s walked up to the police officers to try to have a conversation with them, and they beat him terribly, and he's now hospitalized, and he is white in stable condition. But these officers made a decision, a rash decision, to attack this man. Now they've been, I think, furloughed without pay or something like that while internal investigation
was under the, they attacked him because
he approached them. I mean, I don't have many, I just briefly saw the story this morning online and didn't read the whole report, but there was no reason for this attack on this man, and it wasn't racially motivated, but it was motivated, you know, because of the friction that's going on currently between police and you know, the regular civilians, apparently.
Well,
but people are outraged that he was attacked for no reason, and one of the police officers apparently stopped to help him to see if he was okay, and the other police officer pushed his partner forward and said don't check on him, and they both left him, you know, left him there to bleed
and there's fractions
and possibly
in
die.
The police department of some of these subgroups of these militant policemen and neo-Nazis and things like this.
They are, and you know, a lot of people say, you know, that instead of becoming a criminal, become a cop, because you can be a criminal and you have a badge to protect you. So a lot of people who are in the police force do have the mind of criminals, and you know, they're able to commit crimes under protection. So
well, you know, we bring up, especially at this time of our lives, we bring up two also matters that have been of great concern, and that was back in 1968 when we had the riots, we had Nixon, we had supposedly law and order, racial discrimination, and violence in the streets, juxtaposed to Martin Luther King and his great crusade and campaign, if you want to call it that, but his life effort to restore peace and equality and to do it in a peaceful way, in a peaceful movement.
Or to I would more than restore equality, it would be to establish equality, because at that time there was no racial equality really ever in the United States.
Yeah.
So So.
And whether you have pros or cons against the White House, at that time it was Nixon trying to have brute force in terms of the law and order. Not to mention that, yeah, he ended the Vietnam War. He, you know, brought an end to certain things. He established the Environmental Protection Agency. He did some good things, but there was a corrupt center in him, obviously. And now it's just opposed to President Trump, who is currently finding himself in isolation and declining in the polls and trying to use dictatorial tactics to establish his power and his position that what he thinks is true. In a way, you know, it's an imaginary world that one lives in. When you start to use a center of imagination, pure fantasy, in order to restore stability, saying that there's no virus, that you can take, that it will be done in 2 days, that you can.
Yeah, in fact, he told
cleaning
solution, and a man took this medication, which they say actually does treat the virus, but anyway,
yeah.
Died. What I wanted to say, but we have a caller real quick, before we get to the callers, you were talking about Nixon and the fact that he did some wonderful things in his administration, but also had darkness. But this brings us back to our original premise that we're talking about, and the fact that we come in with karma. So we have this dichotomy and duality within all of our, in our souls. And so which way we choose to go based on free choice, if we are overwhelmed by karma and overwhelmed by our darkness, you know,
history tends to recycle itself, and we as individuals
detrimental.
Need to make certain moral and ethical and legitimate choices in terms of where we're going to lead ourselves.
Right, and the backsliding
is
the same, you know, it's pertinent to that idea too, because I wonder what turned in him that made him do dark things in office, Nixon. Despite the good that he was doing.
Well, power can corrupt.
Yeah.
But you know, if you come in with a sense of owning power instead of being the true servant you're supposed to be, then it gets to be pretty hazardous.
It does. Okay, Jennifer.
Hello. It's not actually for me. It's for my friend Shelly. She's sitting beside me. Can you do her numerology for her? She's never had it done before.
Okay. Does she want to speak or does she not want to talk?
No. She'll speak. Here you go.
Okay. You're just introducing her. Hi,
Charlie.
Hi.
How are you?
Fine, thanks. So you're in Canada.
I've never
too,
done this
huh?
before, so. Yes, I am.
Okay.
I'm Jen's next door neighbor.
Okay. Let's get your birth date.
January 25th, 1972.
I thought there was going to be a 5 in your birth date. I wrote it down before you said it, and it happens to be in a significant place in your birth date in the day. 1/25/1972, 5/6/7/8/18. She's a 27/9. Okay, so 1999, you would have had a change in your life. What happened in 1999? You're born right at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, I got married in 1999.
Ah, so you did have a change.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Are you still married? Are you?
Yeah.
Okay, so the marriage worked out. 21 years you've been married almost.
Right.
Okay.
You see that, Shelley, derived a unique form of numerology. That is not compared to anything that numerology has done before. So in our calculations, according to the way we devised this theory of numerology, we can calculate according to a number system when there were significant changes in your life. That
right.
Shelley, up until the 27th year of your life, you were sort of walking through things that your soul had to do. It was all karma,
okay. What
do you want to call it? At 27, in your case, at 27,
positive.
It's like they say, well, let's see how you're doing. And if you're doing fine, we're going to give you a theme of a blessing. And it may not encompass your entire life, but it gives you an idea as to what you're supposed one of the main things was according to the man on this earth, and that was your reward was getting married. And obviously, mm-hmm. maybe you have
children.
You have two or three children?
I have three, yeah.
three.
I thought it would be three.
What's the mix? Is there a mix of sexes?
No, three boys.
Three boys? Okay.
So, you know, just to let you know, thought it would be three. I didn't know what sex, but
I thought it was going to be at least two, but I didn't.
Yeah. So that's part of it. Now, the other thing, Shelley, is that there's something in the realm of your journey, whether it's with you or your children, where there's supposed to be some kind of art expression, something in the art world, liberally speaking, something to do with art, but that's a liberal term. It could branch into all different kinds of aspects.
For instance, like writing,
art, music,
communication on any level, anything.
Which
like
one of
that,
your three boys would be considered more artistically inclined?
My son Joel, he writes his own music.
Okay,
so you
see, the writing element
so
with the
you
music.
Were the channel to bring Joel into the world, and Joel's and the potential of Joel being renowned or accomplished, famous, whatever you want to call it, is outstanding in the terms of the future.
Okay.
Now that's part there. There's also something to do with Shelley herself that has to do with some form of being a volunteer. So if we look at your entire life and any part of you volunteering yourself for any reason, what would it be?
I don't know. Helping older people, helping my mom, helping older people probably.
Helping older people in what capacity? Besides helping your mother, outside of that, what have you done for older people?
I really haven't really done much in the volunteering thing, really.
Yeah, much.
No. In any capacity.
So
what have you done for older people? Don't worry about how humble it is. Just what is it?
I don't know. Taking care of them, cutting grass, that sort of stuff.
That's volunteering.
Doesn't matter. Small feats are important,
right.
Shelley. You know, we're trying to give you a reading, and we're trying to promote the best parts of your world.
Okay.
Not to mention that you might have conflicts and problems, which you could present to us. But what we're trying to do initially is find the richness of life. Now, if you minimize cutting lawn for people, you know, up above, spirits, guides, God, they don't see that as being small. You trust me. You put one penny in the box as opposed to $100, but if it's all you've got to give, it's still important. Your sense
right.
of volunteering and helping older people in that regard, let's not minimize it. Let's just count it as credit. Now, is there anything going on with a location property, a home situation, another home?
Vacation
anything
home,
with financing in real estate?
My son moved into one of our properties.
So there is other properties.
Yep.
Yes.
You have other properties.
We have two other properties, yeah.
Two other properties.
Three, actually.
Three other properties. Three sons, three
yep.
properties. Well, four properties, right? You have four properties.
Yeah, one we live in and three other properties.
And
yeah.
three others, but like, okay.
So you see how this is working. You've never done it before. But a lot
yeah.
of times, Shelley, it's like a psychic detective. We're detectives, but we approach it under the heading that we're being psychic in our approach, not just guessing.
Right.
So we're going through that area. And so there's something to do now with that son moving into that property. That son... There's something, I don't know what it is yet. Maybe it's too obscure to even understand, but it's something to do with sports, football, sports, athletics. I don't know what that is yet.
Uh-huh.
Maybe you don't either, but does it apply to him as we speak?
No, he's the artistic one.
Oh, he's the artistic one.
And
okay.
he's the son.
So that's important because he alludes to the first choice we had. So that's good.
Right.
Is there another son that is athletic?
Yeah, I have my youngest one is in football.
Yeah. So now we move to that notch. You see how it's working? Now
yeah.
It appears as though the reading is opening up themes regarding family and home. That's where we are right now. It doesn't mean it closes there, but that's
right.
What's going to open up a little bit. Now, did anybody recently have to go to the doctor?
No.
Is there any reason for anyone to maybe have to go to the doctor, or was there an episode in the distant past where there was a doctor, a medical issue, an accident?
But is this regarding my family or like?
No. You go where you're thinking.
Because my brother-in-law just called me this morning and asked about a torn bicep, wondering if he should get surgery. He has to know by tomorrow.
So that's it. And he's still within the family structure, even though he's not in your immediate family.
Yeah. Oh, that's weird because he just called me this morning asking about that because my husband had one, and they're giving him the option of letting it heal on its own or have to have surgery.
So your husband, then you bringing up your husband who is in your immediate family, and he actually did have a torn bicep. So that
he,
So that gets more intense in terms of the validation of that.
See, now we're moving into that area. Now that's another validation. You've never done this before, but this is the way.
No, that's excellent. It's
what's your
strange.
Husband's? What's your husband's birthday?
October 30th,
1966. He's an 8. And he would have had a change in 1992. When did you meet him?
I met him, 3 years before we got married. So 96.
So that's interesting, too, because 3 years before he could... You waited 3 years before you got
30.
Married. Yeah, that's
30.
Before we got married, but I knew him before that. We were friends probably 3 years before that.
3 years
On the line of history, since you mentioned that place where he was 30 years old when there was a significant union between the two of you initially.
Mm-hmm.
That's his day.
And so 3 years, which is in his 30. But you're saying you met approximately 6 years before you got married.
Right. We were friends before we got married.
We were friends. Six. So that's
And
6 years. He's born at the end of the year. So,
Shelly, your month and days add up to 8, which is
his master number.
Oh, wow.
It's an 8.
See? How this is going.
And in fact, your last two numbers in the birthdays, you have a 2 in your year and he has a 6. That's his karmic number 26.
Yeah. And your days add up to 10, which is his month.
Month.
Now we have to get out a different book from the library shelves. We get out a book called Karma and Past Life Connections. You've had a past life connection with this man. Obviously, whatever was going on there, the themes of what was going on there meant at that time that you were going to meet him again, get married, have 3 children. And
children is in his day.
Is in his day. And since Jennifer's hanging around, it's in her day too. So Jennifer's a past life connection to you.
Jennifer is a past life connection to me.
Woo!
Jennifer was either going Yahoo or she was throwing up. I don't know.
No, she was going Yahoo.
Okay.
So Shelly, out of curiosity, because I was getting that 5 in the beginning before you gave us your birth date. Did you work at all? Have you worked at all throughout the years or have you been primarily at home with your children?
No, I've always worked. That's where my husband.
So in your capacity, what have you done in your work? Because I'm trying to figure out where that 5's coming from. If there's anything involving communication in your job, what do you do?
Yeah, I'm a dealer at the casino. I've been there for the last 20 years.
So you are, in communications essentially because you deal with the public.
Right.
And cards. Okay, so that's that strong 5 energy.
What you're called the gateway to finance.
Sin. No, I'm just kidding.
You're the gateway to finance. You know, Krista and I work in our own little world. We work with a deck of cards every day as part of the journey of our psychic exercises. We deal with cards in a very special way.
And this is not cards, not tarot cards. It's actually
just playing cards.
Playing cards that we deal with.
Oh, wow. Day.
Yeah,
and
it's
we
not
do that
tarot.
In a very special way we won't mention, but we do it in a very special way. Now, what you do in terms of dealing, you see, there's a couple of things that come to my mind. One, I believe that you worked on a gambling boat.
Shit. I knew you were. Did you hear me say ship?
Yeah.
Oh. I knew you were going to say that.
When they had little Winchester guns and they had those little pistols, you know, that the gentlemen used to wear in their pockets, those little tiny pistols. What would they call it? I forget.
Holster?
But they were little tiny guns you could hold in your hand. Sometimes women carried them in their purses. But do you have any affinity at all to, or anybody in your family, to Western, to weapons, to guns?
No, not that I can think of, no.
Does your husband own any guns? Nothing?
His dad did.
Okay, so there's the connection.
That's where we make the connection there. And anybody ever own a boat anywhere in your background?
No. Yeah, no boats.
No boats. Okay.
No.
Well, what happens in a past life is when we get carried over to the present life, some things dissipate. They get kind of swept into the formula, but they don't really have any outstanding features as we speak. But they come from a deep fabric of this. And there's probably...
Right.
There's probably something in the past that has to do with a cruise or a ship or immigration of some kind that goes deeper into the past life, not just life, but into the, you know, your background.
Right.
In your background. So have you ever traveled outside the United States?
She's not in the United States. She lives in Canada.
In Canada.
Have you ever traveled outside Canada?
Yeah, we go to visit. He has brothers that live in Texas.
Okay, but that's
okay.
Not
so Texas is the cowboy. See, Texas comes up with the stereotype cowboy
Western.
So the Western that we're mentioning as we put together the, you know, it's like putting together a deck of cards to get a good hand. As we're putting together the reading, we're getting this Western aspect, which is kind of intriguing.
What where do they, what part of Texas do they live in? Are they like land bound or are they water?
Fort Worth, Texas.
Well, that's you know, even the word
fort. That's military.
We're getting in there. So now that you got a feel for how a reading goes, you've never had one before. Do you have any questions you want to ask?
I don't really have any questions, but it's very interesting.
Yeah.
How you can come up with all that with like numbers and. Yeah, it's very interesting. Now my future with the casino, is there going to be a future with the casino with everything that's going on?
Yes.
Because my son's a dealer there, too.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, no. I wouldn't worry about that.
Things will open back up. Right now, are you not working?
No, yeah, we're all laid off.
No,
yeah, it will open back up.
You know, the thing about casinos is that they will have the ability to get back on track. You know, they're just temporarily, they're not going to be like a small business. So it's going to be okay there. I don't see any problem there. In fact, if I were to venture deeper into the future, maybe it's symbolic, maybe it isn't. But I see you adding on to your home. Now, that could mean an abundance of finance. It could mean something to do with remodeling. But it's not a symbol. Do you have any plans for that?
We do. We have the one that we rent out to Jen. We plan on remodeling.
Oh, so there you go.
Yeah.
And do the homes, are they income bearing? I mean, are you renting them to other people?
They're
all
rent them to other people.
Okay.
You said Jim. Is it Jim or Joel?
Joel. That's weird.
Joel. Yeah. Oh.
And what's his birthday?
February 25th, 2000.
That's weird. You know, we have a nephew born in February named Joel.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yes, we do. 9, 10, 11. He's an 11.
Yeah, he robs casinos.
So he, your son would have had a change in 2011. His karmic number is low.
Okay.
The turn of the century, when you add up all the birthday numbers.
In 2011, there would have been a change with him, but...
Anything you can reference?
Yeah, probably not good changes. 2011 weren't good changes for him.
Really?
He
well,
had a rough 11, time, rough time as a teenager.
It's a difficult number, 11.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you don't have any questions, I hope that's kind of...
No, it was very interesting. One question, my mom, I worry a lot about my mom with this COVID, my mom and my sister. Would you have any, like, insight on that?
Mom and...
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Is your father
sick?
Yeah,
my dad passed over. Yeah.
So your mother's hanging on.
But what about the sister? Mm-hmm. Is your sister sick for some reason? I mean, does she have...
She's just, you know, very overweight. Heart problems, you know, high blood pressure, arthritis.
Well, see, there's stress. And your father might have been a very stressful man. He could have died from heart disease or a heart attack. What did he go with?
Cancer.
Sure. I knew.
What
cancer.
Kind of cancer was it?
Liver.
Did he drink?
Yes.
Yeah. See, stressful. You know, the forget about the heart attack, but the stressful aspect that was brought on. And so your mom has incorporated part of that stress with living with him.
Into her psyche, into her, yeah.
And with, even though he's not here, the experience she had with him is still in her body, and that's what you're worried about, is stress on. Your mother might be a stressful person. She might worry a lot.
She has tons, like, she is riddled with arthritis. She's had arthritis ever since she's 21.
And it's like a osteoarthritis?
Yeah, rheumatoid.
Oh, she has rheumatoid arthritis.
What's her birthday?
That's heart.
Yeah.
That's heart.
What's your mother's birthday?
February 18th, 1955.
And she's got an 11 in her 1955.
Yeah, she has an 11.
Oh, no, sorry, 1950.
Oh.
But she has an 11 in her 218.
Yeah. 2, 3, 11, 21.
26, 8.
Which is the same number as your husband. Yeah. But, I mean, rheumatoid arthritis and osteoarthritis are two different animals.
Sister has is osteo.
She has the osteoarthritis. I mean, osteoarthritis is very painful, but rheumatoid arthritis can be fatal. So, you know, it's... How progressed is she? I mean, does she take medication? Obviously, she takes medication.
She has it in every joint, every body part. She's riddled with it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, since she was 21, when did she meet your father? When did she meet your father?
Which is her first two
numbers? Oh, when she was 16. They got married when they, like, first love.
Yeah.
But just
they split up years ago, but they were best friends. They split up when she was, like, 30, I do believe.
But they stayed friends. What's interesting is her first two numbers are 21, and that's when she became afflicted with arthritis.
Yeah.
It's in old.
And then your mother never remarried?
Yes, she is remarried.
Well, she is. She's married now to some.
Yeah.
Is that a good, healthy marriage?
Yes. Yep.
Well, she's holding karma from your father. When was your father's birthday?
January 24th,
1950. And they have their numbers. He has the first two numbers are inverted. 124. What's the year?
January 24th. Thank you. Good.
1950.
Not good. So that's where the stress is. Your mother, your mother could well live into her 70s.
Gosh,
she just turned 70. Yeah.
Yeah.
She just
and
turned
her
70.
Numbers, interesting. You're born a day after your father.
Yeah.
125. He's 124. The mother's 218. So there's, I mean, tribal past life.
Well, you know,
my grandfather was born on the same day, January 24th.
Really?
Yeah, this is this is a continuation of tribal past life energy. Your mother, I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm dead wrong. But
don't be dead. be alive wrong.
Your mother could still be alive when she's 75. I still feel a vibration. I mean, if she's suffering and she's in pain, that's not a quality of life.
Yeah.
My quality of life. But
she does suffer, but she's got a pretty good outlook on it, I guess.
I don't know. We're going to assume right now your mother's alive at 75.
But you're concerned about your back to your original question, which was concern over them contracting COVID. Your sister, mother, are they taking precautions?
They are.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't, you know, I think just a side note about the virus. Yes, if your body is, if you have pre-existing conditions, it can be much more dangerous. So obviously both your sister and your mother fall into that category. But
right.
if really the death rate comparably is about equal to influenza. So there's a lot of misinformation, I think, and, you know, the way deaths are being recorded, doctors are saying that they're, you know, being asked to record deaths in different ways than they normally have in the past. So if a person, for instance, dies of respiratory failure, but has the COVID-19 virus, they'll write down COVID-19. They're being encouraged and there's incentives to do so. So, you have to consider all aspects. So I wouldn't worry too much if they're taking precautions, staying at home, making sure that they're not out in public too much. I don't think there's going to be a problem.
Any problems? Yeah. Okay. That's very interesting.
Well, hopefully, if you're inclined to.
Yeah, I don't know if she's on Facebook,
but
she can find us through Jen.
Okay, definitely. I definitely would like my sister to call you guys. I think she definitely would get a lot out of it because she really is going through a hard time.
Oh, definitely have her call. She's the 218-50.
Pardon me?
She's the one born on 218-50. Do you have just one sister?
I have one sister and one brother.
One brother.
My sister's a single mom, just going through a lot of stuff right now with the COVID and stuff like that, so...
Yeah, we'll have her give us a call.
Definitely. I definitely will.
Great. Well, it was nice to talk to you, Shelley. Thanks to Jennifer for referring you to the show.
Yeah, it was quite informative. Thank you very much.
Take care.
All right, bye-bye.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. Okay.
Yeah, well, oftentimes, more times often than not, but the karma of our current life extends backward in time to conditions whereby the people you meet now you've known before.
Very
clearly, but you can meet, the refreshing thing is that you can meet somebody on the planet for the very first time ever. Not everybody you're going to meet
is right
with. Some people are fresh off the boat, that you've never met them before, they've never met you before, and a karmic connection is now being established, which may be the last connection on the planet you have. Or if you create a karma with the person and it's not really, really advantageous to well-being, then you're probably going to end up meeting that person again. We had a client that wants to make a clean break with a very difficult breakup, but they want to do a clean break and they want to do it in such a loving way that there's absolute forgiveness. And there's sense to that because even if you're involved with someone where conditions become violent or volatile, ugly, nasty, abusive, the idea that if you think, well, what's going to happen to me when I die? Am I going to have to come back to resolve anything? Should I really close all my cases now as I live and breathe? The answer is yes.
Yes, but I would like to add to that. Making a clean, healthy, loving break. Clean break and loving break are two different categories.
Absolutely, yeah.
So you can make a clean break with people, but it doesn't necessarily need to be a loving break. And wanting a loving break in this particular case, my comment to Neil was this: 5 years down the road, when this person, this client, is in another relationship, she is not going to care if the break was a loving break or not, because she'll have moved on. So, you know, at this point, it's the attachment to the relationship that's causing the need for that loving break, but it's not necessary. In fact, a lot of times you have to move past your karma by cutting it off completely, and it has to be a harsh separation.
Yeah, sometimes.
Sometimes, not always. Not always.
Don't get everything you want, but the idea that your intent is there is good. And then, yes, indeed, sometimes you have to make abrupt course breaks.
But you can have a love.
You can
make a loving break without the cooperation of the other party.
Yeah.
You can make that loving break within yourself. And if that other person isn't at the maturity level, which is in this case we're talking about, or, you know, whatever it is that's preventing them from being able to make a loving break, or they can't let go, that's their karma. That's their issue.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, fortunately, you don't need the cooperation of another person to make a break. You can make a break on your own, and you're right. You don't have to make it under loving terms. You can just break off. You just leave. And that is something that is common to the idea of how we place ourselves on the planet and how we have to sometimes make these abrupt choices to move on, move forward. And it's in Bible quote structure too.
Where you cleave to your, you know, you leave your parents, cleave to your spouse or whatever it is.
Christ said, you know, to Mary, go back, take care of your mother.
Which is,
you know, the idea that we release ourselves from the planet, ultimately, that's what we're doing. Sometimes it's difficult to have passion for the world and to care about the world and to love the world, and then at the same time to come to the realization that you may be leaving this planet for the last time, never to return. A lot of us do return. Most of us, we do return. The ones that transcend to a higher plane and remain there, they're completely disconnected
from the earth,
body sensation.
Right. Meaning, you know, when people are, not people, but when souls that have crossed over are accessible to a psychic, and they're not at that highest level, you're not able to reach someone who's
basically
completely
not
disconnected from the earth.
Basically
plane.
Not. There are some, I've talked to some souls, at least I believe I've talked to some souls that have no longer have connection to the body. But a soul can exist in the astral plane as a soul spirit and still have some attitude of communication with mediums, psychics, or just the everyday common people. There can be that element without there being any significant exchange between the soul and the body itself within the person. So I have spoken to those people.
Right,
but
it's more
but
common.
The highest forms are not accessible.
Right.
They're in the spirit form. Doesn't mean that you can't pray to God or you can't pray to a God or Jesus or Moses or somebody. You can. That spirit element is there because a lot of spirits that have transcended still have some dominion. They still have some connection with the planet. There's still a loving attitude. And And we know that because great religious figures communicate with higher spirits, all the way up to God. So,
well, yeah, but many spirits were never connected with the body in the first place.
Yeah,
I mean, the higher spirits.
The higher spirits weren't.
You know.
But
and angels, we know, were never connected with the body.
Yeah, there is a separation. There is a separation. But in order to attain pure spirit, it means that in all this release of karma and energy forms, such things, you transcend into the eternity. When you've transcended into the eternity, there's no questions asked, because the body isn't eternal. The soul and the spirit all are. So you attain eternity by releasing yourself from the body permanently. There's no body connection. If there's no body connection, then there's no real need to connect to the earth. The earth is vanished. It's come and gone. And I mean, there is the phrase "world without end, amen," also a famous book. But the idea that we are
taken
released
from the Lord's Prayer.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of novels are. The way that we release ourselves.
Plagiarism.
Yeah, I know. There's tremendous lawsuits up there. the way that we release ourselves from the planet, it's strange, because you have to transcend the planet. And that means having a final goodbye. That's even at Raymond Chandler, the final farewell or the final goodbye, famous mystery. But when we get into the idea that we are saying goodbye forever, you know, it's strange too, because I was watching years and years and years ago, I was watching a nature show that was specifying polar bears and the threat upon their species, this polar bear, and that they are vastly becoming extinct. And the final frame of the special showed a polar bear and its cub looking back at the camera, and the narrator says, "Is anyone going to say goodbye to us before we leave the planet?" You know, when we get into the idea that there's a natural release where the soul evolves, and then there's a violent disconnection, and not that we're branching off into things that aren't pertinent or specific to our topic, but when we get into the idea that we're losing so many animals and species, and the threat of extinction with so many of our fellow living creatures is dramatically being expressed on our planet right now. So when we get into the idea that life is precious, even to the extent of this horrific murder, that life is precious with the knee, you know, that life is absolutely precious, and that we have to respect all forms of life. We don't categorize and say that black lives matter.
Yeah.
Human lives matter.
Human lives matter.
Black lives matter.
Of course.
Because they've been signaled out.
Singled out.
Being important.
Right.
That doesn't matter.
Right. The Black Lives Matter phrase to me is separation. You know, that's further separation. All lives matter. And I understand that we have to acknowledge that there has been horrible injustices
on
people of color, and that we have to signify an importance of their lives. But I also think that phrases such as Black Lives Matter cause further division between people, and I think that we have to recognize that all lives matter.
It is for the cause that is important to ignite awareness that there is racial prejudice in our world. So the cause itself is the heading, but underneath it, I believe all life matters.
Well, you know, I was reading.
That includes bumblebees,
reading
everything.
I was reading something. Yeah, exactly. And well, typically the typical person doesn't really care about bumblebees or consider insects as being important. There's
we find an insect, we save them. Everything, life matters.
But I was reading something also recently about Asian pride, Black pride, and how it was designated as this positive thing. But then when you get into white pride, that signifies white supremacists. So you can't have white pride. I mean, it's really convoluted when you get into these.
Well, the diversity of humankind is a remarkable thing. It's a wonderful thing. But to have to segregate ourselves in order to appreciate the diversity of humankind, that's where the tragedy is, that we've come to a place where instead of viewing human life as being as having variance, and that we're just not one color, we're just not one form, that we have to now signify that there are separations of humankind in order for us to survive as a species. That's where the tragedy is, that we've lost scope of the general analysis of what human beings are, which is variance, and we're all human beings. It's just a shame that we have to start to segregate certain aspects of humanity in order to suggest that they have a right to be on the planet. It's absurd to me. That's the way it is, and that's what it's come to. And it's a shame that we have to separate in that diversity. I believe that the diversity...
Yeah, we even separate by sexes. Woman power.
But I
male
love
power.
Cultural diversity. I thrive on cultural diversity. If I'm going to encounter an African American, I don't want their culture mixed with. I want to know what their culture is. I don't want it polluted.
Diluted.
I want it to be enriched. Polluted, diluted. I want it to be distinct, but still in the element that we are the melting pot, you know, that term that came up.
But I think that, now it's not politically correct to be a melting pot anymore. It's a mosaic, I think, is the now.
Yeah, we've got to understand that if we lose diversity, we've lost the consciousness of what it is to be a human being. And that's what the shame is.
Right. So recognizing the diversity in all of us, whether we're woman, man, black, white, whatever it is really the true lesson here. Okay, so we're running out of time and we're going to be ending the show on time today. We're back on the air Wednesday, 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern. And thank you to our callers and listeners. We hope